We're going to go ahead with the lesson. If you could open your Bibles and turn to Acts 13:26, and I hope someone can post these verses for us. But there in Acts 13, we have a historical picture of the conditions of Paul's sending at that time, the time of Acts 13. After Paul was separated to the gospel of God in Acts 9, we find in Acts 13 he was sent to the work. The work, it's called. And he was sent to preach that gospel of God and the gospel of salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we see that in Acts 13:26 in Antioch of Pisidia. Those people in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia were the children of the stock of Abraham, as it says in the verse. And they were there was also among them, besides those children of the stock of Abraham, but besides the Jews, there was whosoever among you feareth God. Some people like to leave the "and" out and try to make it that they were all Jews, children of the stock of Abraham. Whosoever among you children of the stock of Abraham that fear God, some do and some don't, in other words. Some were apostate. There were probably some apostate in there, right, of those that were the children of the stock of Abraham. But that's not what it says. It says children of the stock of Abraham, and additionally, besides the Jews, there were whosoever among you feareth God. Welcome, Gordon. Glad to see you. So Paul said, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Not Israel's salvation. Not, some other salvation, but the salvation that God sent him with, Christ sent him with, in Acts 13, verse 4. And that's, it's that way as you go along, you know, until you get to Christ's later sending of Paul. You go through Acts 14 and 15, and then 16 he goes to Philippi, 17 to Thessalonica. Early in 18 he goes to Corinth, and then he goes, I'm trying to think where it is, whether he goes to Ephesus first or whether he gets that temple vision first. I think he went to Ephesus briefly. He was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. He had the temple vision and he got out of there in a hurry and went back to Ephesus then in Acts 19. Well, I better get back to my notes. We're not learning anything here. But it was that way during the... welcome. Please listen in for us and let us know if you have questions during Q&A, if you would. But he would go to the synagogue. He would preach the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God being about who Jesus is, the gospel of Christ about how to be saved. And it was that way until he got his second sending after the temple vision. He was told about it in the temple vision, most probably there in Acts 18:22 in that brief visit. Philippians 4:15, if someone could show that, it tells us that later sending occurred when Paul departed from Macedonia. And Philippi is a chief city in Macedonia, and he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, in Acts 20, verse 6. So, from that time, in Acts 20, verse 6, Paul was sent to all men. It doesn't say he preached to all men yet, but he might have. He was sent to. We don't see it occurring yet in definite terms in the Bible after Acts 20, verse 6. But we... pardon me, just a minute. But we do see after his temple vision and before his sending, we see him talking about it, about his future sending coming up, that he has received apostleship to go to all people, just not the sending yet. So, in other words, he's the person to go, but God didn't give him the go-ahead yet, or Christ didn't. So, but fallen Israel was not yet fully blinded and cast away by that time, and there was no exact, you know, Paul's desire was to see some Jews still get saved, even though Israel had fallen, and they were diminishing and diminishing, diminishing, till there was, you know, like that brick of cheese, there was nothing left at the end of that diagonal cut through the cheese. So, when you're talking about Israel and the body of Christ, there is no exact correlation between things that happened to Israel and things that happened to the body of Christ. And that's another proof that they're two separate entities, the two separate agencies of God. They're not the same thing. They're different. So, Paul was telling them that, it was a message of salvation, and that they were the ones to whom it was sent in Acts 13:26. It was a message of salvation, the gospel of Christ, and it was sent to those Jews and Jew blessers that came to the synagogue with the Jews, the Gentiles that did that. They're not called Greeks yet in that passage in Acts 13. But they are in Acts 14, verses 1 and 2, verse 1, they're called Greeks. They're the people that are in addition to the Jews in the synagogues, the devout people that gathered wanting to be part of Israel's program in some way. So, this message of Paul's, the gospel of God, and then the gospel of salvation, it was sent to Israel and to those Gentiles who feared the God of Abraham and who were in those synagogues with the Israelites. And they got to hear Paul preach. Wow. What a blessing. They received that blessing by being there, by being devout, caring about God's way, and that salvation was of the Jews at that time. And they got to hear Paul and found out about the salvation that had just recently been revealed to Paul. So, since they were promised in Genesis 12:3 that they would receive a blessing if they blessed Israel, that's the blessing those particular God-fearing Gentiles and Israel-blessing Gentiles got. Excuse me again for just a second here, please. Hi, and welcome to the room. Doing fine here, except for this cough. But at that time, was that salvation that Paul was talking about when he went in that synagogue and said, "This salvation is sent to you," was it sent to everyone in the world? Did Paul say that God was sending the word of this salvation to all people back in Acts 13? No, Paul was careful not to say that. You cannot say that without adding to God's word. It wasn't told anybody that it was sent to all Gentiles yet. It was sent to Gentiles, yeah, but not to all the Gentiles. Those Gentiles are the ones that are named there in Acts 13, verse 16, and Acts 13, verse 26. And he calls them, you know, he refers to them in Acts 13:46, when he makes that statement. No, that's later. Let me see what that. I think that's a third. That's a referral to them. Let me get to 46 here and post that. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Well, who's the you? Not everybody listening to me read it, or not everybody reading the scripture about it. It's to who he was speaking to. He was speaking to those Jews in the synagogue and those additionally that feared God, the Gentiles that feared God and came to the synagogue and blessed Israel with their tithes. Those are the ones that it was necessary that that word of God should be spoken to. So does it make a difference? Does it make a difference whether the gospel of salvation was preached to all men in Acts 13 or only later in Acts 20 or 28? Actually, that's not the point, is it? The point isn't whether he preached to all men. The point is, who was he sent to? That's who he was responsible to write to, and that's what we have in front of us when we read Romans, Galatians, Thessalonians, and Corinthians, those six books. When we read them, we're reading what Paul wrote to Jews and God-fearing, Israel-blessing Gentiles in the synagogues. So, what difference does it make? That's the difference. Whether Christ sent Paul to preach that saving message to people like us in Acts 13 or Acts 20 or Acts 28, it does make a difference. And that's why we harp on it, emphasize it, I should say. There was a difference in some of the doctrines that Christ inspired Paul to teach only to those Jews and Greeks who were still in that position there within the synagogues or in the friendships with those people in the synagogues so that they could provoke Israel to jealousy, which is one of the things that Romans 11 says the Israelites were to do. The Gentiles that the salvation came to at that time were those that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy in the dispensation of the gospel. It was not until later that Christ sent Paul to preach that same saving message to all men, without distinction. Beginning, at that time, to name it the gospel of the grace of God rather than the gospel of Christ or Messiah. Messiah, those Jews and Greeks knew about Messiah. They had been looking for Messiah. Some of them had heard that Messiah had come and gone back to heaven. So what they needed to hear was good news from him. And Christ, the Messiah, sent back good news on the Damascus Road to Paul. Good news, you're not slain dead for blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You're saved by a new pattern. So, I was just looking in text there. But when Paul was sent to all men with this saving message, you won't find Paul teaching those concessions, those ordinances and gifts and special instructions that he taught to smooth the path for synagogue Jews and synagogue Greeks to elect to believe Paul's gospel of salvation during that gospel dispensation of the gospel. I made that too long a sentence. It's the difference is that he did teach those things about all those questionable things, the ordinances, the head coverings, and the Passover observance, and things like that. He taught those in those six early books, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians. But he didn't in the other books. He didn't teach instructions that were only for a dispensation of the gospel, only for the people in that work, that short work that the Lord made on the earth. Just a few years, 12 to 20 years or so? And then it was closed to them, to Israel. They didn't have any more special access to God. They had to come as a sinner, the way Paul was ushered in as the first. In me first, he said. Between Acts 13 and Acts 28, there were doctrines that were only taught to the type of people that were in that one body of Christ during a dispensation of the gospel, the early dispensation, before salvation was preached to all men in a dispensation of the grace of God, which came later. So do those dispensations of the gospel doctrines, do they apply to us in the dispensation of the grace of God? Or the doctrines that he taught during the early dispensation of the gospel, do those only apply to the people who were in the dispensation of the gospel, who alone were in those unique circumstances? Well, if we're talking about the general information in there about the body of Christ, it applies to us every bit as much as does the later epistles, the epistles of, I'm trying to name them, hopscotching back and forth between the other ones. They're mixed, as you know, but Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, I don't know if I named seven or not, but the prison epistles. Those prison epistles are all for us. They're all information for us and for those in the dispensation of the gospel before. It was all information that was for the body, anybody in the body of Christ. But there was some of that kind of information in the early epistles. But the early epistles additionally had information that was targeted only to those that were in that dispensation of the gospel, Jews and Greeks in the synagogues, that had just left or were still among the Jews, which could be swayed. Some of those Jews could become part of the remnant according to the election of grace. So we need to see that there was no one in the body of Christ like you and me during the early dispensation of the gospel. From Acts 13 to Acts 20, verse 2 at least, those believers in Paul's gospel of Christ during the dispensation of the gospel were saved when they believed. And that was the same saving message by which we are saved by faith. There's no difference in the way they were saved during the earlier dispensation or the later. When we're talking about within the body of Christ, I'm not talking about the law. The Bible doesn't call that a dispensation. It calls it a ministration, but it doesn't call it a dispensation. It was ministered to them. It was served to them. They, you know, take that. You know, can you do this? And they said, "We will do everything in the law, and our righteousness will depend on it." Deuteronomy 6:25, and that was a big mistake for them, for Israel. But those believers from Acts 13 through Acts 20, verse 2, had previously. Been in the commonwealth of Israel. So they were, by that, they were in at least that one covenant of promise. They were the beneficiary of it. The covenant wasn't made to the Greeks, no. But it was made to Israel about the Greeks, that part. In fact, the first two parts of Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless thee. That applies to the Greeks, if they bless. And I will curse him that curseth thee. And that applies to the Gentiles that don't bless Israel. So that's two parts of the seven promises in that covenant. Two parts of it applied to the Gentiles. So that means there were those people in the synagogues were not aliens apart from Israel. They were in the covenants of promise. They were not God-haters. They were not law-ignorers. They were the ones in the synagogue blessing Israel, fearing the God of Abraham, coming to God under the covenants of promise. They were the Jews and the Greeks to whom Christ sent Paul first. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Who is it sent to? To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Nothing yet about alien Gentiles in there. That's the Greek Gentiles that blessed God, not the alien Gentiles that cursed God. Christ's Acts 13 through 20, chapter 20, verse 2, sending of Paul to the work, as it's called in the verses there, the work of calling the remnant according to the election of grace, calling them to be saints, it still left out people like you and me, people like us. Paul was not preaching Israel's plan. It wasn't a Jewish salvation. He was teaching something new and different, like it was just covered in text. Thank you. But it was new and different. It wasn't the same. It wasn't Israel's gospel. Paul was still sent, though, to the Jews and the Greeks at that time with this new gospel. That's why it was a mystery of Christ. It was Messiah's secret that he sent back to Paul. Mystery means secret. Christ means Messiah. The gospel of Christ is mystery. The mystery of Christ is this mystery that he revealed to Paul about how to be saved now. All of Israel that pledged to keep all the law all the time, and every one of them failed, now they have a way to come to God, as you know, a remnant would choose it, just a few, and they would elect grace rather than law. But what about us? Is that way to God still available to us today? Here, where many people, you know, when they hear this and try to fit it together, they get confused, and I can understand how. But nobody has been or will be saved into the body of Christ by blessing Israel. Nobody ever got saved into the body of Christ by blessing Israel. It could have been a means of them hearing the gospel, but everybody comes the same way. We hear and believe the gospel, receive it to our own condition, to ourselves. Actually, receive is the word in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and it's used twice there. So before Israel's fall, those Greeks who blessed Israel received a promised blessing from God, and that blessing was something physical, like better crops, you know, a position of service in Israel's future kingdom out of heaven that comes to earth. A position of service would be a blessing, a physical blessing on earth. Health, things like that, that's what they were promised. There was even an extra blessing available to Jew blessers between Acts 13 and Acts 20, verse 2. During that time, Greeks who blessed Jews in the synagogues got to hear Paul, like we were saying. They got to hear Christ's, his only apostle of the Gentiles, come to their synagogue where they were sitting and preach to them. Preach Israel's missing link, the gospel of God. The very thing that Israel rejected about Christ that kept them from receiving the kingdom at that time. Well, they got to hear Paul preach that gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah that they'd been waiting for, and that he rose from the dead. Nothing about salvation in there, but it's facts that Israel had denied that now they can have additional verification that it's true. Jesus is the one they were waiting for. Those Jews and Greeks who believed the identifying facts about who Jesus is, the name of Jesus, they also got to hear Paul preach to them the saving gospel of Christ, saving them into the body of Christ, not just into the vine, into the very body of Christ that represents Christ on earth today and will be taken up for it. positions in the heavenlies. I shouldn't say will be taken up. We are seated in heavenly places. Our spirits are. And our body will receive spiritual bodies instead of natural bodies at the catching up. So we have a heavenly future. And that salvation by the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, saving us into the body of Christ, is during the dispensing of this gospel of salvation to us. Israel's promise of a blessing was during the rise of Israel. But Israel fell in Acts 7. You can read in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, of Israel's rise and the nations coming to Israel and Israel ruling the world and I'm trying to think where it was. It was in Deuteronomy 28, I think, where Israel was promised they would be the head and not the foot, not the tail, excuse me. If they obeyed and kept the covenants and the commandments, which they will do in the future, in the millennium, when Christ returns. But that's all during Israel's rise. In Acts 7, Israel fell, and that was no longer a way to God. It happened when they cursed the seed of Abraham, described in that middle part of Genesis 12:3. They cursed the God of the seed of Abraham when they put Jesus Christ on the cross. And after Israel 7, Acts 7, excuse me, after Acts 7, Israel's fall, the immediate return of Christ with his kingdom out of heaven, that was no longer preached. It was no longer offered. It was off the table. Christ will come back at some point, but it wasn't going to be to that generation, to those people there. Israel fell and was no longer God's people until he calls them back. And we have it in Scripture that he will call them back. It's a thrilling passage when you read through Zechariah. He calls them back in Zechariah 12, verse 10, and the surrounding verses there on both sides. But we need to see, today we need to see that there is no one alive in the body of Christ that got there because God fulfilled a promise to them because they had blessed Israel in a synagogue somewhere. And so God sent Paul to preach the gospel of Christ to them in that synagogue. That only happened to those people back there in the dispensation of the gospel before the dispensation we're in. They were both in, we and they were both in the body of Christ, not in Israel. But there just cannot be any former Commonwealth of Israel people alive today that got into the body of Christ by hearing the gospel that Paul preached in the synagogues. You see that? we'll get to questions in just a minute, a few minutes here. I just want to get through these orderly. I hope it's orderly. I try to put it in order so that I don't miss anything and have to hodgepodge it back together and be more confusing than I already am. To people that hear me, possibly. I hope it's not confused. I hope it straightens out some of the thoughts. But anyway, it's been centuries since Israel has been willing to receive the benefits of God's Genesis 12 covenant with Israel. They have not been receivers. I mean, parts of it are unconditional. God's going to give it to them whether they keep the covenant or not. But they won't have any part of it now. They don't want to. Just like salvation, it's there and it's available. You don't have to do anything for it, but you do have to believe that Christ died for your sins. I mean, you have to act in. You have to not act. You have to exercise faith. You have to believe it, you know. And if you don't, you're ignoring God's gift that's out there ready for you to take it, and he's got his hand. Well, I better not go down that road. He's not knocking at the door. That's Revelation 3:20. That's Israel that he's knocking at the door. So today, we don't have any way to come to God by blessing Israel, because Israel fell. They've been blinded and cast away and are no longer God's people. No one today can be saved into Israel's program in Israel's kingdom to reestablish God's authority on the earth through God's earthly agency, Israel. They're out of the picture. Israel is gone. They are not God's holy nation. They are not God's kingdom of priests today to the rest of the world. At this time, they will be. Yes, God's plan for Israel on earth and the various plans that he had for Israel, they've been discontinued, postponed, until he finishes what he is doing now with his heavenly agency, the body of Christ. So after Israel fell, Christ saved Paul and sent him to call the Jews and the Greeks to salvation in the body of Christ by believing the gospel of Christ. In due time, Christ later sent Paul to preach that same salvation message to all people, to us. People like us didn't have any connection with Israel. The reason those Jewish crowds in Jerusalem erupted so violently was because Paul had just told them that later on, after his temple vision, Christ had he told them that Christ had sent him to those alien heathen nations, the Goyim, the Gentiles. And that is exactly what Christ told Paul would happen in Acts 22, verses 18, especially 18 and 21, but verses 17 through 21 is the passage. But look what it says in 18 and 21. And saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Well, he departed, went to Antioch, and then went on a missionary trip. He finally, in Acts 22, verse 22, comes back, and he's telling them this about what he saw in the temple vision. And they gave him audience unto this word, the word Goyim, the Gentiles, that he would be sent far hence, not to the Jews, not to the Gentiles in the synagogues, but far hence, to far off Gentiles, Ephesians 2, 13 and 17. They gave him audience to this word and lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. They were going to kill him like Paul was killing the followers of Jesus Christ, the little flock. Not Paul, I'm sorry. That was Saul of Tarsus. Same individual, but before his salvation experience on the road to Damascus. The leaders of the Jewish synagogues were all right with those Greek Gentiles blessing Israel and bringing their tithes to the synagogues, but the alien Israel cursing Gentiles were absolutely not allowed. They were not okay with them. Those Jews hated to hear that the Gentiles that cursed Israel, and that God said he would curse in the middle part of Genesis 12:3. Now Paul was preaching that God is saving them? How could Paul be correct? How could Paul be sent from God? Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The Israelites were not even saved yet, and would not be saved until Christ returns. To them, that was anti-scriptural, what he said, what Paul said. But it says, and curse, God said, I will curse him that curseth thee. talking about the seed of Abraham. Who cursed the seed of Abraham? Israel did. They put the seed of Abraham, singular, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And what was the curse that they will be cursed with? That curse was carried, was Jesus Christ became that curse. He became sin so that anyone that believes on him would become the righteousness of God. So, time for questions and hopefully answers or connections with the scripture anyway. I'm done with what I've got ready for today.